Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What is true New Testament or New Covenant baptism? Now, we need to understand this. Only the complete instructions in the Bible will bring us to the point of what a true New Covenant baptism really is and what it means. And if you've gone through the little prayer, "Oh Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins,
baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost."
And now you are saved and born again. That, my friend, is a complete lie. Because you must believe in the gospel, and you must be baptized by full water immersion. So let's put this together in this segment, and I want you to ask the question of yourself. If you've gone through this so-called conversion experience, and they say, "You're not born again," that's another error.
Thank you, Lord. I have eternal life now. I am born again. I'm a child of God from this day. Amen. If you pray that prayer, I want you to know that God heard you and that He answered you.
So you see, unless you really examine the scriptures, unless you put them all together, you're going to come up with errors, though the Bible is read. And remember this, those who tell lies must have some truth in what they say. And that's precisely what fake Christianity does. So let's come to Mark, the first chapter, and see what Jesus Christ himself said. Verse 14, "And after in the imprisonment of John, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God." Do you know what the gospel of the kingdom of God is? You need to know what that is, because there's a whole lot more to it, with many more requirements, which puts you in contact with God now. And how you live, and what you're preparing for, and what's going to happen when Christ returns. All of that's in that one little sentence there. Verse 15, "The time has been fulfilled. Christ himself came." That was the fulfillment was then. "And the kingdom of God is near at hand." That's Christ himself, the future king of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will be brought in its fullest extent for the whole world when Jesus returns. And the purpose of us entering into a covenant baptism and a covenant relationship called the New Covenant with Jesus Christ and God the Father is so that we can be resurrected when Christ returns, and we will rule the world under Christ. Now, let's come to Acts, the second chapter. We've covered this before, but we'll cover it again because this tells us what we need to do. We have to believe, but we also have to repent. Now, what is repentance? Is it just feeling sorry that you didn't do good? Repentance is a complete bearing of your heart and mind and soul to God in prayer to Him, asking His forgiveness for your sins. And remember, sin is the transgression or the breaking of the commandments of God. See, because the Ten Commandments declare the goodness that God wants us to follow. And we will see that is still required. So here in Acts 2 and verse 38, when those at the temple heard the message of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they, some of them right there were right there in the crowd when all of this was going on, when Pontius Pilate sent him off to be crucified. So verse 37, and after hearing this, they were cut to the heart. That's what repentance is all about. You see that you're wrong. You see that you're a sinner. You see that you need God. You see that your way is not right. And you understand what Jeremiah said, O Lord, the way of man is not in him to direct his steps. So this tells you what repentance is about. And that you come to God saying, God, I need you. I need your spirit. I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy. And so they asked Peter, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, all of your transgressions up to the point of baptism. Now, we covered some of that in the last segment. Let's read it. And you yourselves shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit comes from God the Father. And that comes after baptism and laying on of hands and praying for the Holy Spirit to be given to the newly baptized person. And that comes from God and is called a begettal. Now, why is that called a begettal? Because it is a start. It's a finishing of living your way of life separate from God, but a new start after baptism of living for God. But you have got to understand what a covenant baptism is and what it does. What does the Holy Spirit do? Let's come to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Now, the Holy Spirit that is given does not make you jump up and down, run around, yell and scream. No. The Holy Spirit of God is sound-mindedness and love and joy and peace and all of the things from God. But why is it called a begettal? Okay. Because there is a spirit that each one of us have, which the Bible calls the spirit of man. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But according as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now that's also a key, very important key. We'll cover that a little later. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So when we receive the Spirit of God, it will help us to understand what we need to do and how we need to do it. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men understands the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Every person has a spirit of man. And it says in James, without the spirit, the body is dead. Now, the fake counterfeit that fake Christianity has is the immortal soul.
The Bible teaches that you are a body. You have eyes and you have ears and you have a nose and you have a tongue and you have feet and you have hands. You're a body. But the Bible teaches also that you are a living soul. And the Bible teaches that your body is temporary. Your body is going to go to the grave. but your soul is going to live forever and ever. Your soul is eternal.
That's not true. The soul that sins shall die. And where it says that Jesus gave his life, the Greek is psuche, he gave his soul, which was his whole physical being. And since you don't have an immortal soul, this is why you need the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God comes, it unites with your spirit, and you become a future son or daughter of God. Now notice, in the same way also, the things of God no one understands except by the Spirit of God. So to really understand the Bible, you need the Spirit of God, and you don't get the Spirit of God unless you repent. Now, let's come to Romans, the 6th chapter, and let's see how it directly relates with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, you've heard how many times. Jesus died for our sins. True. But what does that mean? And how does that relate to you personally? And how does that relate to baptism? And why is baptism necessary? And why, if you're not baptized, you don't have anything to do with Christ the way you should for salvation? Because baptism is an absolute formal ceremony to connect you with God and Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Which, if you are not properly baptized, you have a fake conversion. Now let that sink in. Think about that. Now Romans 6 tells us an awful lot. The last segment we talked about Christ's sacrifice in Romans 5. Here in Romans 6 it continues on. Verse 1. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? May it never be. Now, I want you to think about that statement in relationship to how many ministers tell all the people they preach to that the law has been done away. Well, if the law has been done away, there is no need for baptism. Because there is no sin. Where there is no law, there is no sin. So that's very important to understand. Because if you do not keep the commandments of God after you have been baptized, your baptism is worthless. And your receiving of the Holy Spirit did not occur. Now, you need to understand that baptism, as we will see right here, is a ceremonial, symbolic death of you. We who died to sin. Now, how do you die to sin? Through baptism. That's why it's complete immersion in water, for the remission of your sins. And as it says in another place, to wash away your sins. We who died to sin. In other words, once you come out of that watery grave, you are not to live a life which is breaking the commandments of God. And that's why you have heard me mention about the commandments of God, and especially the weekly Sabbath, over and over and over and over again, because Sunday is not the Sabbath of God and has nothing to do with God. And please understand this. No man has the power to change God. what God has done. And God created the Sabbath day and the Ten Commandments so that we could live in peace, we could live in harmony with each other and with God. So baptism is a symbolic death, and it's required for a covenant. I'll explain that in just a minute. So how shall we live any longer therein? Or are you ignorant that we, as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Now you go back and read all the things that occurred when he was crucified, how he was beaten, how he was scourged, how he was rejected, how he came as a lamb to the slaughter, didn't open his mouth, as it says there in Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, how that it is his body was more scarred and ruined because of the scourging, that he was literally baptized into his own blood. And remember, Jesus, who was God before he became Jesus Christ, willingly emptied himself and came as a pinpoint of life to be begotten in the womb of the Virgin Mary, to be the sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. Not just us right now today. That's part of it. But the greater plan of God is so marvelous that it is eventually going to take care of helping people past, present, and future. Baptized into his death. Now that's something. Now why did Christ die? Two reasons. Number one, to end the covenant with Israel, which did not do away with the laws. It just ended the covenant. Number two, at payment for the sins of all mankind, individually applied to all of those who repent and are baptized. And when he had the last Passover before he was arrested, when he gave the cup, he said, "This is my blood in the new covenant." And that was done on the Passover. And the Passover should be kept, the Christian Passover, the way it should be. Now then, Jesus Christ's blood was the blood of the new covenant. Now a covenant must have two participants involved. In this case, Jesus and each individual that comes to him. So, Jesus and you. Jesus' death and your death. Now, when Jesus died, then was raised from the dead, his death paid for your sins. However, you do not enter into covenant with Jesus Christ and God the Father unless you are baptized and you produce evidence of your death. And your death was the watery grave of baptism. Now we'll see it right here. Verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him, that's what it is when you go under the water, through the baptism into the death. And that the death is the death of Christ. So that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, in the same way also we should walk in newness of life. Now, what is this newness of life? It is living, as Jesus said, by every word of God. Now notice how close and personal that this is, verse 5. For if we have been conjoined together, conjoined means like this, becoming an absolute part of, conjoined. It's almost as if when we go into that watery grave, that God lays us right on the body of Christ on that cross. And his blood is the covenant blood. So you see how important that is. And you cannot be in covenant with God the Father and Jesus Christ unless you are baptized. And baptized this way. And baptized with this understanding. So also we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. To be glorified. To be a son or daughter of God. We'll see. This is the whole story. This is the whole meaning of the New Testament. See? It's not just a nice feel-good thing so you can relieve your conscience of guilt. You have to relieve your body of the power of sin so that it doesn't rule over you. Now notice this, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was co-crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, because all the sin is right up in here. And baptism is also a circumcision of the heart. Take away the hardness of heart and the rebellion and the antagonism against God and his laws, so that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. Now, what does that mean? Did you realize that you're a slave of sin? Did you realize that even maybe some of the good things you have thought of are basically rooted in sin because they're against the commandments of God, against the truth of God, against the way of God? And that's why you have to come to God after baptism every day. Now notice this, verse 7, because the one who has died to sin has been justified to sin. You've had all your sins forgiven. Blood of Jesus Christ has covered that. Now if we died together with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, here is the attitude that we need to have when we come out of that watery grave. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For when he died unto sin once for all, but in that he lives unto God. In the same way also, now this is for us after baptism, we should indeed reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. No more living in sin. But alive to Christ through Jesus our Lord. Therefore do not let sin rule over your mortal body by obeying it in the lust thereof. Yes. Not going to be that way. See? Now then, remember this, just as a new conceived life in the mother's womb, so when you are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, you are a babe in Christ. And then our lives are dedicated to growing up into Christ in all things. We are dead to sin. We don't live in sin. We overcome the sin within. And we've got a booklet. What is the true meaning of water baptism? It is a wonderful thing for you to understand and why it is necessary. And one of the most important books that we have that you need to have and read and understand, from a speck of dust to a son of God, why were you born? And there it shows the comparison between physical life and the coming spiritual life. and our resurrection when Christ returns. This is a tremendous thing. Baptism is absolutely essential. Unless you have a covenant baptism that you symbolically have been laid on the crucified body of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and conjoined to his death in that watery grave of baptism, you have no standing with God, because God deals in the covenant. And the covenant, since Christ died, then he's also asking that you symbolically die in the watery grave, and then you're joined in the covenant with God. And so once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.